My heart is often broken when I see people hurting, and then they refuse to let the doctor help them or the mother to help them. I can remember many times over mother trying to bring medication to my hurting body. And I said, I don't want that. I can remember many times preachers trying to reach my young and a little bit of a rebellious heart. But I thank God they never gave up. They kept preaching. They kept loving. They kept the altars ablaze with conviction and freedom of forgiveness and the glory of illumination. And I come to you today with the same passion, a little bit more intense than I had when I first started preaching. I'm not bored studying to help Paris, Texas, and Lamar County have the best school system, the best governmental system, and the best of every church in this community. It is my desire and design by the Word of God to build the worst person into the best person. I trust that that's the reason every one of us to come to the house of God, to become more educated, to become more capable than ever before of delivering those that are in dilemma, because many of your friends have young families that are in severities when it comes to life. I praise God for the opportunity to raise up a voice, to raise up a people, and to raise up a congregation that's going to fill this city with hope, with love, with forgiveness, with His glory. And for that reason, this entire year will be about revealing His glory. I assure you, He doesn't love you 1 ounce more than He does the guy in the beggarly areas of this community. You are blessed because you received whatever you have from Him. And the more you receive, the more blessed you will be. The more of yourself you surrender to Him, the more He can give to you. So opening your heart, opening your mind, and receive ye me, He said. Because if He knows, if you receive all of Him, you will have all power over death, hell, and the grave. And the rapture is going to take place just as sure as the sun came up today. It's going to happen. We have proof every day that He's in control. So let's ask ourselves the question. Did I really come because I want to be the best me I can be? Or am I satisfied with myself and I really don't really want any preacher trying to cram anything else in my life? Let's talk to Jesus about our future right now. I thrill and I'm honored for every one of you that are here today to be here. Would you look over there and see if it may be lost over there? I may have it covered up with something up here. Here it is. As you well know, we started at the first of the year with the idea of revealing His glory. Had a couple of interruptions, but this Sunday I put up the scripture that we started with just for your quick perusal. Glorify God therefore in your bodies, for we preach not ourselves but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. Now this is Paul talking. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. 2, give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. Can anybody say amen? And yet not distressed. We are perplexed. There's a lot of things we don't understand. But we are not in despair. Persecuted. People misunderstand, say things to us, say things about us. But we know we are not forsaken by the one who gave us our breath. Those people that come against you didn't give you your life, so don't let them take it. Don't let them confuse it. It is the Lord that giveth, and the Lord that taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Nobody's stealing my victory. I don't care how big my nose gets. My dad said when I was born, my whole face just came to a point. And mother said, Hewlin, don't say that. He said, it's true. So he helped me in life by telling me, son, some of the best people I know have big noses. Made you want to shine. Going to help each other. Dad understood people would laugh when they saw it. So he helped me get used to talking about it. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. There's not one of us that have not felt the pressures of life until we wanted to stay in the bed all day long. But thanks be unto God who hath redeemed us from this corruptible life. And has given us a glorification of spirit to know I don't have to stay down because I made a mistake. I don't have to live down because I've been cast down. I'm getting up again by the blood, the word, the name, and the power of the Holy Ghost. This is not a religion. This is salvation. This is the glory of heaven. It's not some little religious routine that we go through. It is a spiritual infusion that has projected power that can confuse the devil. He's not going to continue to confuse my mind. I'm going to confuse him. I wish somebody just tell him that in your spirit. You don't have to shout it out loud, but you just tell him in your spirit. You're not confusing me and make me live in darkness the rest of my life. I'm going to confuse your darkness. I'm going to bring Jesus to my front and center, and you one's going to have a bad day, not me. So he said, the way you do this, bear about in the body the dying of the Lord, that the life, 2 of the strongest words in that one scripture, dying and life, also of Jesus might be made. I'm telling you, this is going to be one of the greatest years for any of you. We're going to come up with a screen and that, about that in a minute. But this is going to be one of the greatest years today, starting yesterday, starting today, starting tomorrow. Every day is going to be a new day because that's what he said it is. Today is the day of the Lord. Today is the beginning of the rest of your life. Today, you can't do one thing about yesterday except cover it with the blood, but you can do that. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Now, he could not be more kind than to tell you that every day you live, this stuff is going to rise up. Because in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. If I live by the flesh, you frowning at me messes up the rest of my day. But if I live after the Spirit and know who I am in Christ, you can curse me. Don't let the world damn you up because they damn you. Let them make fun. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. In other words, the church, the body of Christ, continues to die out to flesh, so that life and love and forgiveness and glory and hope can fill every corridor of our streets and our houses in Paris and Lamar County. How many of you have any idea what that represents?
It represents you. The scripture for you. I wish you'd look at your neighbor.
You have been made a spectacle to the world. When you get redeemed, expect it. Dark is going to try to close out your light, because men, the Bible said, love darkness rather than light, because their unbelief satisfies them more than a belief that they can become all things to all men, that by all means some will be saved. So you are as a city. When you start living in the light, you become a spectacle, the Bible calls it. You become as a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hidden. We are hidden, the Bible said, with Christ in God, Christ in you, the hope of glory, in and for this world. Those who sit in darkness saw a... And here's what I found out about light. You either run from it or you run to it.
But you can't sit in the light and have drool running down your face. And when you see it, you're automatically going to clean it up, because there's that much respect for ourselves. But when you live in the light of the Spirit, you're not going to want to lie. You're not going to want to cheat. You're not going to want to commit sins of any sort, because you recognize that that is damning to the real core life. Am I making any sense yet? I'm not here to play games. I promise you, I've been praying all month for you. I've been praying all years for you, that God would make us that city that's set on a hill, a spectacle, so that men, women look at it, some admire it, and some deride it. But I remember being one of those that made fun of some of the people in our church when I was growing up, because I wanted to fit into the social system. I wanted to fit into the world of darkness. And they embarrassed me when I brought my friends to the house of God. Now I look around and see how adults with lots of money behave at a ball game. And that ball game's not going to save their kids. That ball game's not going to educate their kids on how to run a city. And I see people at the house of God surrendering to Jesus, praise and worship and glorifying His name. I'm telling you, the stock market has gone up on worshipers right now, because I understand that those worshipers are seeking the face of God and the glory of God. And I'd whole lot rather see a man talking in tongues and doing whirly birds at church than drunken and saliva and cursing and swearing and lying in front of his kids at a ball game. I'm here to preach Jesus, the light of the world, the hope of our life, the glory of your forever.
The only reason they get by with doing all of that is their neighbors doing the same thing, and they condone all that. Glorifying God begins with understanding our value. I'm not going to cover that again. But if you have any doubts about it, please feel free to come. Matthew 6:26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better? Somebody look at your neighbor and say, you're much better than all the animals in your yard. You're much better than all the furniture in your house. You're much
better. You've got far more value than the car that you drive. You are far better than the houses and the money in the bank. You are much better. That wasn't to the people that went to church. That was to the people that lived in sin. We sometimes have a little problem understanding that. And so we think because somebody goes to church, they're better. Let me tell you something. You live in this house of clay. And when, if we can get that far today, you're going to see how pathetic that body you live in really is. And you're not going to want to magnify it. You're going to want to magnify the Holy Ghost. The value. One of them shall not fall to the ground without your father, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Somebody say it and all that in the green right there. Turn to somebody and tell them. Then many sparrows. Many. And he tried to tell you how care and how wonderfully he thought of the sparrows. Fragile life. Life that once it's over will never appear anywhere again. Because your life, it's going to appear again just on the other side of the graveyard. And he sent me to tell you how to get ready for that. We have all enjoyed some good days, years. I can remember lying, cheating, and carrying on, lusting, and everything else. And I still had some good days. I still won some ball games. Football, baseball, basketball. I played them all. Had some good days, but that didn't qualify me for heaven. It didn't qualify me to be a husband. It didn't qualify me to be a preacher. It didn't qualify me to help a city. I'll tell you what qualified me one day. When I found Jesus at the old rugged cross, and I made my way to Calvary, and I began to understand, in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. I can't let this flesh dictate to me how I'm going to live daily. I can't let this flesh dictate to me how I can do this and do that. And I learned a lot of syllables, and I learned a lot of English, and I learned a lot of Shakespeare, and I learned a lot of Longfellow, and I learned a lot from Lowell. Did y'all know he was a poet? That's where my middle name came from, Robert Lowell. But I didn't like him. I had a lot of good days. Going to church is not about feeling good. I'm watching people all about, I just don't like it. Let me tell you something. How many of you have studied about Jesus? They did not like him. So why would anybody try to find a religious system that everybody felt good about? Not being harsh. I'm just telling you that men love darkness rather than light, and they don't mind calling on Jesus as long as they don't have to live like Jesus. He suffered. And in the suffering he learned, the Bible said he learned obedience through the things he suffered. I'm going to ask you again to ask yourself, why am I in this assembly? Am I just putting my time in today so everybody will think I want to go to heaven? Or am I hungry that I know him and I know what he can do for me and I know how he wants to put his word or seed in my life that I may grow up into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ himself? I'm not interested in creating a bunch of Pentecostals. I'm a creating of Jesus people. Of people that look like him, talk like him, act like him, and have power like him. I'm talking about an overcoming people that know how when the devil's trying to steal their kids and you come by the blood and you get into intercessory prayer and you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost pulls the answers out of heaven on how to give your kids manna from above. I wish somebody would pray right now, God, give me everything I need to raise the rest of my kids the rest of their days. God help me. I got some precious grandkids that are going to be tempted in all points. I got some precious great-grandkids that are already growing up and they're seeing a lot of humanity. I want them to see you. Oh, hallelujah. However, if you've had any inclination toward being more like Christ, get ready. I wish you'd tell your neighbor, get ready. You hadn't seen nothing yet. You think you've danced these off. You think you've been shouting a little bit already. Let me tell you something. You're fixing to conquer devils you never even knew would be subject to you. You're going to conquer situations that you have never even thought the situation would come your way. There's going to be horrible things that are going to come in the streets of our city. Brother Matt, let me tell you something. You policemen are going to face some things you never faced in your life. But your faith in Jesus Christ is going to raise you up stronger than you ever dreamed. And you're going to be powerful in the streets of our city, because we're going to pray that every policeman has strength of spirit, and that every mother and dad has strength of power, and we're going to pray for every school teacher that the glory of the highest will descend on them. And every day we live, we're going to live under His majesty. Could somebody clap your hands to Him? Sometimes we satisfy ourselves with talking about things. But I want to tell you that little thing right there. Many prophecies of light. Greater things than these shall you do. I promise you, you haven't reached the zenith of that. Somebody look at your neighbor and tell them, you're as a city set on a hill. You cannot be hid. There's not a way for God's kids to hide in a world of darkness. Because light and darkness are total opposites. They knew Him. And then they knew them that followed. Because them that followed started acting like Him that was the leader. It amazes me that people don't mind dressing like harlots. But dressing godly is just a little bit too much. It amazes me that men don't mind following men that sound strong and wise, that don't mind lying to us. And then they don't want to be honest. That shakes me up. It just grinds on me to understand how anybody would not want to follow the scheme, the wisdom, the glory of one that could be born in a virgin situation and live in power above everybody else, and then put Him in a grave and mistreat Him and hate Him and despise Him and rat on Him. And then all of a sudden He comes out of the grave and He says, I want to tell you something. I don't care what you did to me. I love you with an everlasting love, and I will forgive you of everything you ever did. And I want to be that man. I want to be that preacher. I want to be like Him. I'm not interested in being a church member. I want to be a member of the body of Christ. I want His blood flowing through my head. I want His spirit ringing loud in my voice. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. Love your neighbor. Love the Lord. Saved by hope. Rivers of hope will fill the hearts of the believers. Get ready, Eric. Let me tell you something. You're about to speak into lives, men on your job. You're just going to think it's just natural talk. And all of a sudden, they're going to go home. And about 6 months later, that little word of faith starts taking root in their desire. And all of a sudden, hey, Eric, you know, we was talking about a year ago or 6 months ago about something. Is that sort of the way it happened to you? Somewhere back yonder, somebody planted a seed. And then all of a sudden one day you said, you know what? I got a better future than this. Whoa. Is anybody else relate to what I'm saying? Somebody put a seed, an idea
We call it idea. And I could, you know, I could start being like God. I could be a victor instead of a victim. I could be a creator instead of a creation. Does anybody want to slow down just for a minute and tell him, I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to you. Why don't somebody open your heart and lift your hands and say, speak to me today. I'm not here to show people that I'm a church member. I'm here to eat the bread of life. Hallelujah. I wish somebody that can sing would sing that chorus again. Would you just maybe two or three of you stand up and sing it again? I need thee. That's when I wish I was Merle Ewan. He love a Honda. Sing it, Brother Jim. Somebody get the Holy Ghost right now. Somebody could get a renewing of the Spirit right now. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Sing that last part again. I come to thee. Could we thank him because we can sense his presence in this place? I sense his presence. For the unbeliever, life is going, if you think it's been a nightmare, and if your friends actually is the ones I'm really talking to, if your neighbors think life has been a nightmare with what's been happening in the economy, both spiritually and physically, if you think it's been rough, he said, evil men shall wax worse and worse. On this side, for those people, you're going to grow up into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. You're going to be able to handle hate. You're going to be able to handle misconduct. You're going to be able to handle the world pounding on your brain. Come this way. And you're going to just keep, the Bible says, walk steadfastly. Walk uprightly. The power of the Word is going to give you stature. And the Spirit of Christ is going to give you life for that stature. It's not a skeleton going to be walking across through the world. It is going to be a skeletal body covered by the glory of the flesh that's been consecrated. And the Spirit is going to emanate from those people who have made him their God. Not talking about who they talk about Jesus. He's got eyes, nothing for but bow grand. That's it, Cohen. Bringing all kinds of emotional highs with unstable emotional life. How many times promises that can never come true, because when God's not in it, you can't do the impossible. How many politicians are we going to side with? And I'm not against political leaders. I'm just against us trusting them to do what the church is supposed to do. The church is to raise the moral virtue of a country. The church is the one who is to help keep lying from happening. The church is the one who is the light of the world. It's not, how in the world do we ever get to the idea that sinners are going to save our nation?
It's not going to happen. It's going to happen because rivers of living water are going to flow from the pulpit to the hearts of those who believe, and they're going to pass on the glory, and the pulpit's going to preach the word, and the voice of the people are going to cast the word or the seed out into the city, and all of a sudden hunger is going to happen to a world, and all of a sudden they're going to start eating bread because they see you like Daniel in the book of Daniel. He was able to withstand the temptations because he didn't eat the king's meat. He didn't eat what the politicians were serving. He ate what the glory of the word said. Give me thy word, O Lord. Thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart that I might not violate the will of God for my victory to overcome the world. You're not listening to a perfect preacher. I promise you that. Ask my wife, my kids, my grandkids, and soon to be my great-grandkids are going to know it. I hate that. I don't even claim to be perfect. But I claim to preach one who is. That's an irony that he called me to herald perfection. And I am to demonstrate at least part of it, or you should never follow me. For the believer, visibility. Somebody say sensitivity. How many of you enjoy knowing when it's getting cold? I didn't say enjoy cold. I said enjoy knowing. Because you know how to dress. You enjoy knowing when it's getting hot. Because you know how to dress. You enjoy knowing when it's going to storm because you know where to hide. There's not a lot of difference. Prophecy says, and prophecy is far greater than the prognosticators of the weather. Evil men shall wax worse and worse. Darkness shall cover the earth. Am I preaching something that's not biblical? Some of y'all looking at me like, man, you've gone out of the park. Darkness shall cover the earth. Men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They will adore the ball teams. They will adore that. They will seek entertainment of every kind on television or wherever they can find it. And then they will slack concerning the altar of prayer. And they will slack concerning obedience and allegiance to the Master of life. Ladies and gentlemen, it's high time for some voice to rise up in the middle of what's going on with love and say, I'll walk with you, Eric. I'll walk with you, Jim. I'll walk with you. I'll walk with you. We'll walk together, but I'm not going to let you run off and get killed and destroyed without me raising my voice. Would you take the hand of your neighbor or somebody close where it's right, and let's pray for the preacher not to lose his relationship with an anointed God. I need you. I'm tempted to give up more than you ever hear from me. I'm tempted to cash in more than you ever hear from me. But I promise you, so far, it hadn't really gotten past just a temptation. There's a satisfaction in the middle of the crisis that will stabilize and rule your emotions. Can't tell you how many times when my brother and family situations were tough in our home, my mom lived on the Rock of Ages. She never raised her voice, but she would calm my nerves and say, son, everything's going to be all right. And I wanted to scream back at her, no, they're not. Has anybody ever felt that way when the preacher preached everything's going to be all right? And your feelings lie to you at that moment.
Because what you're going through, if you're not careful, will dictate how you're to feel instead of what the blood promises, cleansing. What the word promises, future. What the word promises, wisdom. And what the rapture promises, a new world. It's huge stuff. And we want to let some thing, I'm not against, you know, y'all, some of y'all was at the funeral. I told them I bought, I was at a flea market here a while back and bought the Rocky movies. That guy that fights, I know y'all have never seen that, but I had heard about it and wanted to see what it was like. I can tell by looking at you, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, so I'm not fixing to give you a dissertation on him. But he suffered a lot of pain to finally come from behind and became a ruler of the ring. An unspeakable joy and filled with his glory. That's what's going to happen. While this side of the world is becoming more decadent, this side of the world who follow Jesus is going to become stronger, more powerful than ever. The signs shall follow believers. They shall cast out devils in Christ's name. I want to encourage you today. When you trip and fall, you be careful about the demons. Because I promise you, Jesus, who went to Calvary, who went through all the, was tempted in all points such as we, and yet he didn't cave in, or the Bible said he didn't sin. I promise you, he's going to be speaking. Get up. Get up. Get up. And here's what he's going to say. Though your sins be as scarlet, they're going to be white as snow. Because I have loved you with an everlasting love. And I covered every one of your sins at the cross. Just come unto me, all you that labor and struggle with life. And I will give you a rest for your soul. I will fill you with my spirit. You're going to have the Holy Ghost. It's not going to be just a matter you talked in tongues. No, you're going to have a comforter. He didn't tell us talking in tongues would do it. He said the comforter will speak to you. It will lead and guide you into other truths that will be a haven of rest. That's why you don't ever want to get cold in the spirit, because you got to have the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Pastor can't be with you. Mama can't be with you. Daddy can't be with you all the time. But that's why we teach our kids, you get the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost will lead and guide. We have made a sad mistake in telling people they'll get saved if they get the Holy Ghost. That's a new birth. That's a baby. Then he goes into the Word of God and teaches us what to do with the Holy Ghost, how to live in the Holy Ghost, how to be alert to the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden you find yourself dependent on the Holy Ghost. That's not talking in tongues. Talking in tongues is the initial sign that you have allowed the Spirit to flow all the way through your body. But the Bible says this about the new birth. John 3:3, you can't see the kingdom till this occurs. And then he says in John 3:5, you can't enter until this occurs. Because we are led by the Spirit, not feelings, the Spirit. I don't always feel lovable when I'm loving somebody. I'm just amazed at how the enemy, and if you read your bulletin, meaningless conversations. Conversations about nearly nothing that have to do with raising kids and helping our city and helping our government and helping ourselves. I'm here to help make us aware. Sure, it makes us feel indicted for a minute, but if you're really wanting to be like him, every conversation he had was meaningful. Thus, he had Paul tell us, put away therefore all corrupt communication. Our communication, and that don't mean you can't tell jokes and laugh. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about your basic thought pattern. Okay? He's not going to write you off if you get mad and kick the dog and kill the cat. He's not looking for a chance to condemn you. He's not looking for a chance to make you feel bad. He is light. And those who hate light run from it, and they go deeper into condemnation because they love darkness more than light. They love their way more than His way. They love their world more than His world. And so they run from it. But He never is here to run you off. He's here to look into your eyes and look into your heart. I don't care though your sins be as scarlet. Just call on me. I'll help you. We'll clean all that stuff out, man. It'll be just like you never did it. Just be like you never did it. I wish you'd turn to your neighbor and say, just like you never did it. That's what He's here for. Just like you never did it. And so the church, He said, I'm the light of the world, but I'm going to make you the light of the world. So it's not going to be long. You're going to be hugging those people out there on the job, and they're going to think you're really weird. So you don't want to just, you don't want to just kiss them until they understand it. He said, you want to save that scripture. It said, greet the brethren with a holy kiss. You want to sort of save that scripture till an appropriate time. Sort of got everybody on the same page all of a sudden. Don't be not a bunch of guys running around here kissing each other. You talk to me before you go into that. I got some help for you. But we are going to embrace one another. Your problems are going to become my problems. I'm not going to make fun of you if you fall. I'm going to call Brother Tanner. Say, Brother Tanner, you got more strength than I do right now, and I can't get to him. Would you help get him up? The way you get people up is you identify with their problem. You tell them, man, one time I hit a bad spot in my life, and I'm telling you what Jesus did for me. He sent Billy, and Billy told me I was worth something. I can't tell you how many times you've lifted my spirit by telling me how much you love me. You didn't know that, did you? It's the first time I've ever told him. He lifted my spirits when we got ready to go that first New York trip. Come on, it worked. I never told you that. I'm trying to do better. Because I can't tell you, all across this building, I don't look anywhere that somebody hadn't helped lift my spirits. Just a kind word. It's going to make all the difference. Oh, got him up. The little man got the big man up. Somebody give him a hand. I'm going to tell you, though you be weak, God's going to strengthen you to do the impossible this year. I'm telling you, we're going to reveal the glory of that cross. We're going to reveal the glory of the day of Pentecost. We're going to reveal the glory of the rapture. We're going to reveal the glory. We're going to talk about it every day we live. Hey, Jesus, I'm telling you, He rescued me. That's not just a song, sir. That's an event. It took place in my life. I was headed to hell, and Jesus rescued me. Praise God. You're going to cast out thoughts. Let me tell you, the devil don't come looking like that little red guy you've seen with horns. I promise you, here's how he's going to work. How long y'all been married? 2.5 months. He didn't remember, but y'all knew you would. All he remembered was wanting to and enjoying it. I remember being that guy. It's great, isn't it? Man, ain't nothing like it. We'll talk more about it later. As sweet as it is, these little voices are going to whisper in your head, she did that because she's mad at you. Now, I know that hadn't happened yet, but wait until about 3 years later. You're going to remember this. And then that little nasty devil's going to whisper in your ear, he's home late because I don't know what all he may have gotten into by now. And your imaginations are going to run away with those little weird satanic spirits. Those are demons. Don't you go by feeling. Don't you go by voices. unless it's His voice. And I promise you, His voice will never disagree with His word. And so what you do at that moment, you go to Luke, where they shall trample on serpents and scorpions that try to poison your mind and try to poison your thoughts and try to poison your spirit until you find yourself wanting to damn everything. I've been there before. I understand those demons. I had to learn how they worked so I could help you get across them. But I can remember kicking walls. I can remember kicking my foot against things. I can remember trying to kick a ball as far as I could because he had poisoned my mind and I had received it. And I got discouraged with my relationship with God and I surrendered it for too long. And then I finally found my way back to Calvary and I said, God, wash out every one of those demons. Wash every thought out of my mind, every thinking that causes me not to want to serve you and worship you. I promise you, Jesus is never going to tell you that this is in vain. It's going to be a demon that tries to tell you that living for Christ don't work because a bunch of people go to the house of God and they never convert. Don't you forget how many nailed him to the cross. This is going to be a year of revealing His glory. And you're going to find yourself casting them out of your mind first. And then you're going to help those two precious boys. And you're going to get on the phone and you tell them, you say, son, listen to me. I've listened to those voices before. And they lead to damnation. And I know the difference between what the Word does. It leads to freedom. It leads me to glory. It leads me to a future. It leads me to something that I never dreamed I could be a part of. It's the kingdom of the Almighty. Almighty God, the thing that He died to give us was a kingdom without end. This year, a mixed up world, and we got to go slow here. What time is it? What time, you guys? Your watch working? I don't want some dead watch. What? You can always count on Josh. He knows exactly what time it is. Romans 7:18. Somebody say, I know. Now, I'm going to tell you, on Facebook and Twitter, you may not know. You may have just read. Instagram. I don't know what all y'all are on. I just told one of the greatest people in this church recently. I said, look. There's probably going to be more people become gossipers and tale bearers because of Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and some of those other things. Just because it's in writing doesn't mean it's true. I promise you, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to save your bacon. Because I'm telling you, he said murmurs and complainers are not going to inhabit the holy city. And he said, those who are obedient are going to go. Those who are disobedient are going to find themselves arrested by foreign spirits, demons, thoughts. Any thought that is against any part of the Word of God is a demon. He said, Pastor, you're really getting out there. Okay, let me just show you a proof right quick. Somebody turn to Luke 16 and about 17. I didn't memorize this, but it'll be worth you going there. Do you mind playing Simon Peter? Where he gives him the keys. Verse 17, 16, chapter Matthew 16, 17. Is that where he says, and he gave unto Simon the keys, maybe 18. Maybe it's in the Bible. Turn face the people. Hold on, is that Matthew 16 and 16? No, Matthew. I'm sorry, I probably said Luke. I was excited. Luke, one of my favorite writers. It's Matthew, the 16th chapter. It'll be worth waiting on. It arrested my attention within the last 5 years. I can't tell you. Somewhere in the last 5 years is when I really saw this, and it just jarred my preserves. Appreciate people that send me preserves. Go ahead. And Jesus answered and
said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I also say unto thee, Thou Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against thee, and I will give unto these the king.
Now hold on right there. So watch this now. He has just bragged to the maximum on his speaker for the starting day of his church. And he hands him the keys and said, I'm giving to you the keys to the kingdom of God. Now watch the rest of this.
And whosoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged his disciples that they should tell one man that Jesus was the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and to suffer many things of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes and be killed and be raised again from the third day. Then Peter took him.
I want you to listen to the guy that got the keys. He just finished bragging on him how great he is, and flesh and blood isn't dictating his life, but the Lord gave him that revelation. Now watch this statement.
Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying,
Rebuking Jesus.
Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art.
You heard it all. 1 minute. He's a knight in shining armor and gets the keys. The next minute, Jesus is calling him Satan. Why? Simple. He changed tracks just for a minute. And in that rebuke, he felt those keys in his spirit. And he looked into the eyes of the one he had just rebuked and told Jesus, You don't know what you're talking about. And Jesus looks back at him and says, Get behind me, Satan. Or, Come on, Satan, get with me. Somebody say, I don't want to get in front of him. I want to get behind him. Because I don't want to turn into Satan, or I don't want flesh ruling my body. And the minute that he looked at him and said, Get behind me, Satan. Come on, boy. Let me tell you, you be the guy I talked about a minute ago. And I'm telling somebody today, you may have got in front of him and tried to do it your own way, but get behind him today. Let him speak to your heart. He's still going to save your bacon. He's still going to save your kids. He's still, get behind me. Somebody say, Get behind me. That's what Jesus is saying right now. Come on, get behind me. Get with me. Come on, I'm going to take you to places you never dreamed, man. You're going to hug people you never even thought you'd hug. This little rascal on the front bench, he may never look like it. He's got muscles like crazy, but he needs some strong men in our church to put their arm around him and tell him, Son, I hadn't always been this great. I hadn't always been able to live like this. We're going to make it. I wish somebody said, We're going to make it. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. Get behind the Lord. Get behind the work of the Spirit. Get behind. Let's stand. Maybe I can get you just a little further so you can study it for yourself. It'd be good to study this, and I'll try to go back and pick up a couple of thoughts in here that are very important, but I want you to see this one. This altar's open, and I want to say this, the baptistry will be warm this afternoon. It's already midway there. There's some of you that have never been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. I want you to read Acts 2:37 to 38. Because the Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name. Jesus was called the Rock of Ages. He was called the Pillar of Cloud by day. He was called the Son of God. He was called the Son of Man. But there's only one name that you can use to cash a check. And that's a real name. That's got authority associated with it. You can write father, you can write cousin on my checks, but I promise you they're not going to honor it. But if you write my name, you can get a check cashed. Because neither is there salvation, Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Christ is Lord, to the glory of God, Spirit, the Father, the source of all life. Everybody in your world that does any creation uses the source of life to turn the wheels of education. And he said, because they didn't give me glory, they're going to find themselves in darkness the rest of their life. I don't want you living in darkness. There is nobody in the Bible that was not baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You ask yourself, why would anybody, with him dying for us, him resurrecting in front of us, and coming to talk to us, and tell us in no uncertain terms, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. In Isaiah the 6th chapter, you see a picture of heaven. There was one that sat upon the throne. In Revelation, there was one that sat upon the throne. He became 1,100 different objects. He was the pillar of cloud by day. He was the pillar of fire by night. He is the mercy. He is the scepter. He is Aaron's rod that budded. He is the golden pot of manna. He is, but his name is Jesus. This altar's open. The musicians are playing. Men and women are travailing all over this building for the cleansing of our city. And in order for that to happen, we're going to cleanse our hands. We're going to cleanse our heart.